one of the many definitions or differences that people use between an extrovert and an introvert is how you process when you hear something new. I don't know how many of you would fall down in those two different camps. I often process internally and wanting, rather than give a half-formed answer to something, I want to make sure it's right first. Some people are great at just putting it all out there and figuring it out even as they talk. And I recognize that this came in some part even as a child. I remember being in class in middle school, a math class, and I would work on one sheet of paper to figure out some of the problems, but on the test or the quiz, I would put the answers, wanting it to look clean, without the erasings, without the mistakes. I wanted to show my work as pristine or pure or perfect, not so messy. In many ways, that's a story of life, right? We don't necessarily want to be messy in front of others, though each of us end up scratching parts of our lives out, erasing or writing over, or just getting it wrong. Often in this world, we can think that a fresh start, this new thing after the new year, is the opportunity to be perfect and great and so much more than we are, without recognizing that we are exactly what we should be. There are many ways in which we learn to be ourselves. Some of us go through reading, some of us go through life talking about it. Think for a moment about the path you have walked through life, how you embrace change or resist it, both being okay in different ways, how you affect change, and how it affects you. Are you active or proactive, assertive or passive? Reactive. Not that we are ever only one thing, often finding some space in the gray, but imagine what you are like and how it is you might look forward to creating a future world. Tess Baumberger offers this winter meditation. She writes, "Something has changed in me this winter. In the past, I focused on how long winter is, how miserable I find it, and how it seems so interminable. But this winter, I find myself thinking instead that every day, every hour, every minute brings us just that much closer to spring. We all experience wintry times when things seem harsh and frozen or muffled by layers of shrouded snow. It is helpful to remember that each day that dawns bleakly, each night that wraps its cold cloak around our hearts, all of it brings us closer to that time of warmth and the vibrant sun. It is perhaps helpful to consider that turning towards spring is an active thing. The earth, which seemed so stable, in fact flies quickly through space on its path that tilts us toward the source. So too, each memory of ours that we lay to rest, each truth in ourselves that we encounter and accept, each wrong act that we forgive and ask forgiveness of ushers us on towards our own renewal." That meditation helps me think about how we are in the world going through different seasons. There are times I feel very far away from the sun, from warmth, from light. Times that I know that eventually I will turn around again, but I'm stuck in between. In a liminal space between humanity and the heavens, not quite one or the other, seeing change in myself, transformation in others as well. We all are in between. We are the culmination in this moment of centuries of tradition, and yet at the same time, we are the beginnings of centuries of progress. We stand on the shores between past and future. While each moment is a new one, an entire universe unto its own, it's also not disconnected from the moment before or after. We can look so often to those beautiful babies, seeing life born and thinking, is that a fresh new start? Do they have the opportunity to get it right when we can't? But we recognize that each child that's born, regardless of how they're born, their family, their life, all of us are born in an unending chain of humanity. And so, we're called to recognize life for what it is. It's a gift to be broken, jagged, unique. Not universal, not smooth, not falsely whole. It's that gift that we should embrace. Looking for a new start is important, but only if we can hold both the past and the future. I don't know about you all. I'm not really one to write down my New Year's resolutions or my bucket list. I think that somewhere inside, it's not wanting to be messy, not wanting to have to scratch things off when I can't do them, not wanting to be held accountable at the end of the day, and it ends up holding me back in some way. Think for a moment about that moment of balance, that liminal space, right before whatever comes next. The minute, the second, in between 2015 or 2016. Or maybe in our lives, it's between one year and the next, becoming a teenager, an adult, an elder. That liminal space is powerful beyond measure if we step into it, not being passive, but active. Kate Walker, my colleague at Mount Vernon, close to here, offers this poem, In Between. She writes, in between, liminal, that space where we wait, between moments, between events and results, action and no action, to stand on the threshold, waiting for something to end and something new to arrive, is to pause in the rumble of time. Liminality, she writes, is a letting go, entering into confusion, ambiguity, and disorientation. In between, liminal, that space where we wait, look, listen, feel, breathe. I appreciate, especially around the turn of the year, Kate Walker's invitation to stop, to look in between, to listen in between, feel and breathe in between, to go between two experiences and to create something new. Often our life has less of an awe-inspiring sense to it. Usually it's fairly mundane, right? And we're caught often in that day-to-day grind, the in-between stage. But eventually, maybe this has happened to you once or twice, but eventually we look back and we're like, wait, this is life. How do we get to be 25, 45, 65? Those day-to-day grinds add up, and we begin to accumulate a life, times when we're surprised that this is what it's like. I look at my own life, and I think, oh no, it's supposed to be like this. I'm living some rough draft version of it that looks a little too messy, but it should look polished. Many of us face that in different ways, whether it's the disease that we knew of but thought we would never face, whether it's the brokenness of relationship that seems all too common but never touches our story. We pick up accomplishments and afflictions day in and day out, and we carry them forth into the end of our days. We spend a lot of time and energy on the red letter days. Things that we think will be a watershed moment in our lives. We spend, usually, more time on the wedding than the marriage. More time on the resolutions to make on New Year's than the execution of the change we seek. We seem more focused, sometimes, on the expectation rather than the experience. How do we do this in this day and age, in this moment where things are always changing, perhaps too quickly than we would like? How do we stand on the edge and embrace the experience? Holidays, as we've just gone through this huge period of them, often lead to that. But the truth is, in this world, we celebrate big things throughout the year. Whether your culture has a different New Year's that's coming up or was a few months ago, whether it's our birthday, we often have moments, if we would take them, to look back, to reflect, to move forward. New Year's Day is helpful for that, though. I admit, turning the dial over to January 1 and a whole new year often seems big for us. I offered the story from Glennon Doyle Melton. She writes on a blog on parenting and life called Momastery, like monastery. Her post, the best New Year's Day ever, has been made viral the past few days, if you know what that means. So this is what she writes. As she tells it, her two children woke up in the middle of the night on New Year's, both of them sick. She says, this might not seem like conditions for the best New Year's Day ever, but let me tell you something. Sick time is my time to shine. She goes on, I'm not that amazing at other motherly things like cooking or being patient or, for God's sake, playing and imagining things. But I can hold back a sister's hair like a boss. I can coo and I can rub tiny little backs. When they're sick, they want me the most. They need me. They need me to just be, to just hold them and not leave them. And I do it. I show up and I stay close and I do it. And I just feel so grateful. Sitting there rubbing their backs, I just feel so incredibly useful and so grateful that someone needs me so much and that I am capable of providing exactly what she needs. Because what can be better than being there and saying, this is awful. I know it hurts and I can't take it from you, but I'll stay right here and hold you until it's better. That's all we can do for each other, right? For anyone, that's everything. That's what love is. To say, this is awful. I know it hurts. And I can't take it from you, but I will stay right here and hold you until it's better. She ends by saying, looking out at her family, they were in their PJs, their hair was all a mess, they were sick, laying on the couch on the very first day of 2016, a day everyone thinks will be picturesque and perfect, and she thought, this is perfection. I don't want a new, better life in 2016. I just want new eyes to see that my life is already staggeringly beautiful. I want new eyes to see that the miracle of life is not good, better, and best. The miracle is that these people are mine and I am theirs. I don't want or need a fresh start in 2016. Not to chase after some imaginary, more fabulous version of myself, but to be here with the people I love. Going back to my example from the seventh grade math class where I would often shift my work off the paper, though my teacher would encourage me to show it, this is a helpful perspective to recognize that we are not called to live perfect lives that would cover or be on the cover of any magazine, but to live true lives, real lives. To change our perspective, not to what we think it should be, but what is in the process of living and loving. Each day is a new day. Each moment is a chance for something new. That is a powerful opening. But at the same time, it cannot be wholly disconnected from that which comes before or that which comes after. I love that call to worship around this time of year, but really any day it can hold true. These words from Kalidasa, look to this day. Yesterday is but a dream, tomorrow a vision, but if we live it well, every yesterday becomes a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope, if we live it well. So what does it mean to live today well? Often, we think we might want to escape, to get a fresh start, no longer held back by the past, free of the cycles and narratives that we can fulfill and want to avoid. But in so doing, and always looking for the escape, and always looking to what could be or should be, we miss the point of life, which is to engage and embrace it for what it is. To be present and to try to live as right as possible. By doing that in relationship or in community, we are taken to greater heights than we could go alone. Anne Lamott writes, I do not at all understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are, but does not leave us where it found us. That idea of acceptance of where we are and then moving forward in whatever way, by our own actions, by grace or some deity, shows up in different philosophies, in different religions and theologies. If you were to take a look from a Hindu or Buddhist perspective, slightly different, but they also would hold to us that our lives are ever connected. Stated in a different way, they offer a belief that we are connected throughout time and that our lives, whatever they are, cannot be withdrawn from the larger context of which we are a part. This life, this existence we experience is one thread woven intricately through generations and lifetimes. And like a thread, if you pull on it, you can see where the tension is, where the conflict is, where it's weak. You can see where it's been knotted. You can find its path. In many ways, this is crucial for their theologies and for ours. We recognize that life is a path we are wandering through, and so often we look for the right answer, the right path, only to find many, many. Those which make us stumble, those which trip us up, those that seem far too long and hard to walk alone. This is where we are called to help one another out. Because for some people, going through life seems like nothing. It is easy to say or do or think whatever we please. But for others, it's harder. For others, it can seem, given the infinitesimally small power we have, like none of what we do matters. It can seem like our actions and our words and our emotions and lives are taken for granted and nothing will change, at least for the better. When we reach out to one another, offering hands to hold in times of trial and hands to clap and cheer in times of triumph, we demonstrate that each person matters. That's the universalism that our faith has long held, that each of us deserves to be loved. So when we make the world a better, safer, fairer place for everyone, we help each morning dawn with peace and justice, demonstrating that there can be something holy and special in all. By believing in one another, believing in the potential and possibility for change to occur, even against the strong currents of tradition and history, we live. We don't just survive, but we are called to thrive and move forth. It can be hard in the face of tradition and history, but possible. And while it may seem easy, trivial, or too simple, all of this for some of us, for those who are facing a stacked deck, who feel like one accomplishment is one more than they can count on, that two steps ahead and one step back is akin to finishing a marathon, for them and for those who come after, bearing witness to the power and the potential of each person is holy work. Moving forward is life-changing, miraculous, holy work. It is not easy. We all know it's not easy to make change, to wake up, to get out of the doldrums and stop sleepwalking through life. Being able to change our course sometimes can come from a place of privilege. The ability to cut loose and change course, take a risk, can often seem out of reach. If we're working two jobs, if we're raising two kids, if we're sick, if life is wearing us down, it can be hard to just do something new and shake it up. There is a privilege there, but one we can all touch in some way. It's not easy to change that course, to alter the path of life we wander. Our life might be a struggle. We might face suffering, as religions worldwide tell us. It may feel like our hands are tied, but there is hope, a glimmer of chance that things will change and fate is not sealed. As a self-proclaimed holy humanist, I personally straddle the line between believing that humans are in control of the world and have this agency and responsibility to change, and recognizing that things happen outside of our control, from the past and into the future. The beginning of a new day, the beginning of a year, the beginning of a new life are opportunities we can take. We can't fix or change everything. We have one moment, this moment, that we can take advantage of. Our success is rooted in our willingness to look back and look forward and take action in the present. What may seem like a limitation, our past, our future, is actually a liminal space, an opening that allows us to co-create the person and world we seek. Paul Tillich, theologian that he was, says it strikes, when year after year it strikes us, the longed-for perfection of life, and then it doesn't appear. When the old compulsions reign within us as they have for decades, when despair destroys all joy and courage, we are left wanting. Sometimes at that moment, a wave of life breaks into our darkness, into the broken spots. And it is though a voice was saying, "You are accepted." After such an experience, we may not be better than before, we may not have changed, we may not believe more than before, but everything is transformed. Nothing is demanded of this experience. No religious or moral or intellectual supposition, just accepting it. In the light of this, which he calls grace, we perceive the power of grace in our relation to others and ourselves. We experience the grace of being able to look frankly into the eyes of one another, the miraculous grace of relation to life. We experience grace in understanding each other's words, hopes, and fears. Buechner, Frederick Buechner, who I shared the earlier reading from, says that a miracle takes place when you go to shake someone's hand, but you do it with your left hand, suggesting that it catches the recipient off guard and renders that person incapable of just going, just sleepwalking, of giving a bland, pat answer when you say, "How are you?" Think about that for a moment. What are the ways that through your life you can shake things up? Extending a hand, but a different hand. One that helps people change to be present in the moment. There's a miracle here that we all have a part to play. We're called not to just be formulaic, not to be a sort of automated, not to rest on our laurels, not to have to fulfill the narrative or pattern or cycles we're a part of, but to change. Not be perfect, but use grace and love and creation to make some change. We can show our work, not needing the slate to be wiped clean. We can show who we are to the world. Were it to be this way, much of the hard work we've gone through, the process of becoming who we're meant to be instead of who we think we should be, sometimes that gets erased or becomes invisible. And so this morning, this dawn of a new year, this dawn of a new age, this morning, let us accept the challenge to write our stories in ever bolder, stronger colors, to show that our lives, full of mistakes and missteps, is as it should be, not perfect, but perfect for us. That the suffering and the struggle we have endured have taught us something, and that we have earned an A in the lessons of life, whether we get it right or not. I mentioned some about Buddhism and this idea that we are part of a wheel that keeps going and our actions seem to affect the future. Elizabeth Tarbox, a UU minister, writes this: "Dukkha, they say. The Buddha say all is dukkha. It's hard to translate, they tell us. It means literally suffering. But the feeling is closer to impermanence. The fact of impermanence is central to the Buddhist path of enlightenment. All is permanence. Nothing lasts." She writes, "I thought of that yesterday, watching the leaves come down in the shower and the smell of the rotting ones going back into the earth. The crows crying as the leaves fall and their nests are exposed. All is impermanence. Life goes on, and people who were with us last year at this time have died. Their souls pass on. All is impermanence. Nothing lasts." The path to enlightenment, she writes, is understanding. Accepting impermanence to the point where we no longer struggle against it. We search for a sure footing on the path strewn with fallen leaves. We notice the buds of next year's growth tight curled and waiting. We hold on to the things we can count on, our church, our community, our memories of those who died before us, our love and our hope. But life is impermanent. In that impermanence, we call upon the God of creation, the God of today, this present moment, to let us find each other in a changing world. Let us experience love as something which exists, a possibility which is, let us know that we are alive and we are being renewed miraculously each second, that the impermanence gives to its life, gives to life its freshness and its surprise, that our memories of yesterday and our expectations of tomorrow make now a cherished, precious, eternal moment. The world would have it otherwise. It is a struggle in 2016 to shift toward a new way, to choose to do something different, to wake up, to build something together. We make now, with ourselves and one another, a commitment to a life both connected throughout eternity, but a life set open and free. We find in our lives not necessarily a clean slate, but one in which we can create something. Let us go forth. Let us change the world about us for the better and show our lives, for as they are, so shall they be. Amen, and blessed be.